In your love and grace, we come, thanking you for what you are doing in our lives, trusting you for what you shall do. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
I am very grateful to Bishop Susan, Bishop Bob, for this opportunity. It has been a lot of years since I have been thrown out of a place. And one of the things that I know is the love of Christ is in this room. When I think back on my childhood, I remember those prayers that I prayed, Mary, about racism, the things we've talked about. I remember the legal segregation that was actually legal insanity, but that's another story. And I remember asking God, why? Because you see, I never bought the narrative that God liked what was happening. I just knew God better than that. He was like, no, he don't either. I just knew better. I knew different. And in all of these wonderful 65 years I've been alive, I know I don't look it. I never cease to be amazed at what God does. So here I was, thinking in terms of becoming an Episcopal priest, and I had a meeting. A meeting was arranged, and I was going to meet with this priest, and she and I were going to talk about what I had in my heart and in my mind. I didn't know what to expect. I really had no clue. I just knew God, I sensed God was bringing me, this will be the branch of the Christian church, and you will close your eyes in eternal sleep in this branch. I knew that. I knew the call wasn't temporary. I knew it wasn't a mood. I just sensed it. I had a meeting with a woman who so affirmed me and so loved me. Torrance Harmon. Her words were my food in uncertainty. Her words balanced the sense that I didn't know what I was doing. What makes you think you're called? As old as you are? All of these things, some said, some implied, but Torrance, your words kept coming back. She basically said, you better keep on keeping on. And it was an affirmation that I never forgot. So I look at tonight's text about children. And I want to lift up some things for you to consider. Now, one of the things that I firmly believe is diversity is a beautiful thing. So, I'm not going to sound like you. I'm not you. You're not going to sound like me. You're not me. I loved that you read that gospel in Spanish, for I was sitting there going, you go ahead. Yes, because more is in the room than just English speakers. Yeah, you acknowledge the diversity. Now, were we in any way diminished because she read it? Into anybody bleeding or terminal? You know, in no way were we diminished because diversity was acknowledged in the room. So keep that in mind as we share about this passage. I found this book that I had been wanting to read for a long time, and the good thing about retiring from being a school chaplain is you actually have time to read a book. I'm on my fourth book.
I'm having a ball.
I read this 400-page autobiography of Pauli Murray. I mean, I've been wanting to read that for 5 years, you know, so it's been wonderful. Well, this book I knew about, but I just never had the time to read it. I really wanted to share some of the story with my lower school students at St. Catharines, but just didn't have time. Well, I thought about you as I was praying, and this story came to my mind and heart. From sleeping with bread, holding what gives you life. Sleeping with bread, holding what gives you life. During the bombing raids of World War II, thousands of children were orphaned and left to starve. The fortunate ones were rescued and placed in refugee camps where they received food and good care. But many of these children who had lost so much could not sleep at night. They feared waking up to find themselves once again homeless and without food. Nothing seemed to reassure them. Finally, someone hit upon the idea of giving each child a piece of bread to hold at bedtime. Holding their bread, these children could finally sleep in peace. All through the night, the bread reminded them, "Today I ate, and I will eat again tomorrow." Today I ate, and I will eat again tomorrow. Rarely in Scripture do you ever hear Jesus be indignant about anything. And in this passage, he's indignant because the disciples, misunderstanding things once again, sounds like me and us. Anyway, the disciples' misunderstanding caused a fuss when people were bringing children, listen to this, bringing children so that Jesus could place his hand on them and bless them. It is as if the disciples decided they were the screening committee for who was eligible for the blessing. It was as if they thought Jesus matters. Now, if Jesus matters, so many adults are trying to get to him. Well, he's too valuable to waste his time on children. Let's keep them away. And Jesus was indignant. It means feeling or showing anger or annoyance at what is perceived and an unfair treatment. I wanted to get a definition. I looked up a definition, wanted to get the definition so that I could withstand the accusation of eisegesis. It's not eisegesis, okay? Jesus was ticked. You get it? And he was ticked because they decided. You see, they were not a disciple with the title, "Those Who Screen and Keep the Bad Away." That was self, they put that t-shirt on themselves, okay? That was self-appointed. No, they were disciples learning the heart of God, and while they were doing so, they were keeping the very heart of God away from God. Oh my goodness. This is where it gets interesting. So, one of the things that I always knew was when Jesus called me, no one was going to ever tell me different. Now, it didn't mean that I may have not succeeded at ordination. I may have not this or that, but I knew, and if nobody else knew, I decided it was just okay because I knew who called me. It is much like I knew that even though I was born in Knoxville Colored Hospital, I knew a God who cared much more about me than society did. I knew that one day I would have an opportunity to tell people, it got rough, it got tough, but you cannot wipe us out. We are here to stay. And much like that, Jesus was teaching about the love of God. Those that you would marginalize, block off, and keep away, you may think you succeeded at that, but there is a God whose spirit reaches in ways that we can never imagine. And that God came in the person of Christ and is exemplified in bread. And bread is something you can't keep me from. It is that which gives me life. So we can think, this is where I think the burden comes. We can think a responsibility of a title gives us rights we don't have. Discernment of the Spirit is done in the body. We witness, we share. And when we differ, beloved, this is the response. It is not to stomp off with our four and go and start another church. The response is to live into love and live into love and keep living into love until you find the answer. 20 years ago, I remember standing at an event at the campus of Northern Virginia Community College, and I was speaking. And there was a woman over to my left who was blind. And I was there speaking about Christian values as a Baptist minister. She was over in the corner, and they drew my attention to her because she was raising her hand. So she stood up and she said, you know, you've spoken really strongly against stem cell research, but what if stem cell research helped a person who was blind to see? And my response was something like this: no matter what it does, it's wrong. Next question. Yeah, that's what I think now. I want to go hide in a hole. But anyway, I'm the authority. Next question. Well, the woman was walking forward, but I noticed something. People were helping her, and she wanted to get closer. And she said, let me be sure I'm understanding. If stem cell research could help me restore my sight, you're saying it's wrong? See, that's not what she asked me the first time. And I said, then a person got up who was gay. Do you mean to tell me because I love my husband, the man sitting next to him, that I'm going to hell? And I stood there, finished up my little remarks, put my ego in the car, and God had been dealing with me for about 5 years before then. Was I called by him to love the world or judge it? Was I called by him to meet people where they are? Was I called by him to do to people what had been done to me and my family all of my childhood? Walls and doors, can't enter, can enter. Wow, that was hard. But I'm telling you, it started me on a journey. And through coming to St. Catherine's School and meeting a wonderful, wonderful man named Bill Wells, who was the chaplain then, he just slowly started talking to me and bringing things for me to read. And Gussie Bannard slowly started talking and bringing things. And then other, I'm like, okay, God, I get it, I get it, I get it. And I tell you what happened. One of my students was gay. I taught boys and girls. So in upper school, you do boys and girls, St. Chris and St. Catherine's. And I remember God spoke to me in a class, Bishop Susan. You mean to tell me, I mean, loving kid, energetic, always had a story to tell me, especially on Mondays. I'd be going, just keep it legal. Don't tell me something I don't, you know, don't tell me something I don't need to know and all of that. And he spoke to me, God, and said, he's going to hell? The question, he's going to hell? And I began to weep. I had to go away because I began to see, oh, God did not call me to that. You see, part of what I think happens, we get called to me. It is a privilege, beloved. It is a privilege to serve the Most High God. That's a privilege. I appreciate we have degrees. I appreciate we read and wrote papers. It's still a privilege. You're not entitled to it. And I was thinking, I took the privilege, the honor of serving the Most High God and took the role of God. How dare I, by outward appearance, judge people with the right given to me by God as if that's what I'm there for. No, God showed me, love them to life. Love them to life. You're not there to love people to death. You're there to love people to life. And I began to see that I was missing the very reason I was called. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. That's why I was called, not to box people into my idea of holiness, not to box people into my idea of righteousness. So this is what happens. We take on the call and we're into behaviors that we were not set apart to do. So what is a privilege becomes a burden, and we hate ministry because what is privilege has become burden. We've put it in a lane it was never meant to drive in. We aren't supposed to be there. God is judge, God is jury, and God knows if he started with me, the whole place would blow up. So I know how amazing grace is. You see, Jesus wants us to know grace is sufficient, not self-sufficiency, not being self-assured, not arrogance. I appreciate your doctorate. I have one too. One for Jesus, none of us would have one. I don't care how brilliant you think you are. Christ is at work in our lives. And if we lose sight of that, ministry becomes a burden. I have met unhappy pastors. They are so burdened because they're doing what God has not called them to do and not living into purpose, living into love, encouraging people, correcting them when necessary. But you see, if you've encouraged them, then you've got a relationship to work on. You're not just judging and pointing them, us and them, to the table with them. Well, do you come this week? How'd you do last week? Let's see. Do you get bread or not? Who are we? Who are we? So this is what caused Jesus to become indignant. How dare you keep the children away? Don't forbid them to come. The kingdom of heaven belongs to those who love like children, whose hearts are like children. He did not say childish. He said like children. So I was thinking about this story, and I was thinking about you, And I wanted to really share with you this insight. I have a spiritual director, and I will always be grateful that we are required to do that. I would not have done that on my own. I would not have. So I was so glad I had to do that. And my spiritual director is schooled and trained in Ignatian spirituality. And she has taught me so much about letting go and letting God. She has taught me so much so that even the scars of my past have purpose, Martha. They're bearing fruit because I'm giving them to God and allowing Him to transform them. You see, for me to come into a room like this and say, this one's a racist and this one's a bigot, what do I produce by that? What's fruitful in that? Nothing. But I'm looking at children of the Most High God who love God as I love God. And no, we don't agree on everything, but we are still sons, daughters, children of the Most High God. And this story reminds me of that, because children are holding onto bread which gives them life. Well, in a moment, Bishop Susan will be at this table to give us bread that gives us life. What I want to challenge you to do, I want to challenge me to do, I want to come to that table with my hands empty. And the bread that I receive, let it transform and renew my heart so that I can learn to be as dependent and yet as receptive as a child. I believe it's possible. I believe the Spirit of the Lord did not stop working in the first century. I believe God. I really know. Bread, blessed, broken, and given can feed us, sustain us, and strengthen us to impact and change the world. In Christ's name. Amen.